And now an update on the phone hacking scandal, which, of course, dominated headlines last week. It's a very different week this week. But nevertheless, our partner, The New York Times, has a front page profile of Rupert Murdoch and challenges some of the commentary we read and heard after he and his son appeared in front of British lawmakers just a few weeks ago. And that profile is written by London correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, Sarah Lyle. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
So the headline really in the last hour is that the Trinity Mirror newspaper group in the UK has announced it will lead a review into its own editorial procedures related to phone hacking, and they're a rival of Rupert Murdoch. So this scandal seems to be widening.
Well, there's always been evidence and always been allegations that this was much more widespread than just the Murdoch papers. But the focus has been on the Murdoch papers in the last few weeks because of the extraordinary power that that empire wields here. But now it is widening out. I think there's some evidence that the Murdoch papers themselves have been kind of pushing other papers to look at these allegations in other newspapers, and that's all sort of bubbling up now.
Sarah Lyle, was the appearance by James Murdoch and, of course, the famous Rupert Murdoch in front of British lawmakers, was that about the phone hacking scandal in terms of the reaction around the world, or was it more about seeing if the succession plan for Rupert Murdoch is in place at News Corp?
That's a really good question. I think for a lot of people who had always thought of Rupert Murdoch as this kind of mystical, larger-than-life figure, it was incredibly strange to see this small man who did not seem, at the time, really in full control of his faculties. You know, there was a lot of debate afterwards whether he did that on purpose as a sort of ploy to seem less capable than he is, or, in fact, if he is, you know, aging to an extent where he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have the mental power he used to have. You know, my own opinion is by the end of the testimony, he was his old feisty, engaged self. So it may have been part of a strategy. But it did alarm a lot of people to see that. I think it alarmed a lot of his own employees at the newspapers who haven't seen him for a few years, you know, the ones who haven't seen him for a few years. And it alarmed investors who care about the company and want it to be run properly.
What about James Murdoch?
Well, part of it was a kind of coming out in, you know, for a worldwide audience to see James Murdoch in action. He seemed very corporate. He seemed like he'd been incredibly well schooled in what to say. He presented the appearance that he feels he's on top of things. But, you know, there have been allegations since then that he actually lied to the committee about a key piece of evidence that would, if the allegations are true, indicate that he knew more about the hacking scandal than he's ever let on, and that the company's assertions for years that it was limited to one rogue reporter were in fact wrong, that they did know that it was more widespread than they'd said.
And it wouldn't be the first time that a corporate head opened a case against himself by being maybe a little too candid or not candid enough in front of a panel of lawmakers, yes?
Well, it's really interesting to see how this is all going to shake out. And he, of course, you know, has maintained once again that he did not know, even though these two people have come forward to say that they actually think he did know.
A proposition that is likely to be tested by other authorities there. London correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, Sarah Lyle, thanks so much.
Thank you.